Welcome to the Arrowhead Fanatic Podcast.
With my husband.
And my father, Jason Thomas.
Welcome, Chiefs Kingdom. I am Jason Thomas. And this episode's going to break a little bit from the format of the last few podcasts. I'm not going to do a football knowledge. Instead, I'm going to talk a little bit about yesterday and today at camp. Just a couple things, and then I'm going to talk about my first trip to place some bets, and then I'm going to get to some next-gen stats and kind of break down some stuff from last year, which is the stuff that I really enjoy doing, so I'm looking forward to this podcast. The first thing that I wanted to clarify was that I believe it was Ian Rappaport that had reported that Spencer Ware was hurt and possibly out for the season. And they did clarify today that Spencer Ware hurt his ankle. He's having surgery, but he's only going to be out for 5 or 6 weeks. So it looks like the Colts are going to give him an injury settlement because he was going to miss most of training camp and maybe miss the start of the season. But he will be healthy and probably free to sign with the team later on down the road if the Colts decide not to keep him. So it looks like, you know, he's got a chance of playing some football this season. The second thing I wanted to talk about was the Chiefs running backs. I was just kind of scrolling through Twitter and I kept noticing people talking about Darrell Williams, you know, getting a lot of snaps with the ones. And it really looks like he's competing right there with Carlos Hyde, getting the snaps with the ones right now at running back. Of course, Damian Williams is still out with an injury, but Darrell Williams is filling in, and I'm kind of excited. I didn't really expect a lot from Darrell Williams this season, but you could just see in the limited time that he was on the field last year that he's got some strength and aggressiveness in the way he runs, and I definitely like that in a runner. Darwin Thompson seems to be just a little bit behind those two guys at this point in the pecking order. And of course, after giving him a little bit of props in the podcast yesterday for his pass blocking, of course, there was a video yesterday of him just getting destroyed by Darren Lee in a pass blocking drill. But, you know, I really believe Darwin Thompson will get that figured out because he's just got, you know, too much balance and too much strength in his lower half not to be able to stonewall some people. Now, I did mention in the last podcast that I was going to go play some sports bets. I've never done that before. It's now legal in Arkansas. So we took a little trip down to Arkansas, and I placed a few bets. The one that I had really zeroed in on was the Arizona Cardinals future bet. They had them at 4.5 wins when I looked a few weeks back. And I really think Arizona will get to 5 wins. But when I got down there and I looked at the updated odds, they had changed that to 5 wins. So the Cardinals would have had to get 6 wins for it to pay off. And I just didn't feel as comfortable with that. So I kind of had to do a little readjusting on the fly. I ended up taking the under on the Dallas Cowboys. They had them at 9 wins. So I took the under on that. I honestly think they're a 8-8 or 7-9 team, so I feel pretty comfortable with that. I also took the over on the Kansas City Chiefs because they had them at 10.5 wins, and I really think they'll get at least 11. And then I took the over on the Houston Texans. They had them at 8.5. So I think the Houston Texans can get 9 wins, and they had them at plus 130. So that's definitely the one that paid off the best out of the 3 bets I've talked about. And then, of course, I couldn't help it. I ended up putting down a decent little chunk of money on the Chiefs to win the Super Bowl at plus 800. So I thought those were pretty good odds. All the plus 800 means is that for every $100 you put down, you'd win 800 if the Chiefs won the Super Bowl. So I like those odds. I really honestly believe the Chiefs will win the Super Bowl this year. If they don't, so be it. But I've got that to look forward to all season. Now we can get to the next-gen stats, which I love. Next-gen stats uses kind of all the new forms of technology to get as much accurate data as they can about the football games. And they track some things that nobody else really tracks, so it's some really interesting data. The first thing I want to talk about was they track the miles per hour of every player in every game. And, of course, Tyreek Hill does pretty well on that, and I was going to talk about that first. I'm going to start with the 2018 season. In 2018, Hill finished with the fourth highest speed recorded at 21.95 miles per hour, so just a hair under 22 miles per hour, and he ended up having two of the top 20 times this season. They only show the top 20. But he had both of those runs in week one of the season. So you can tell that, you know, he was at his fastest week one. Of course, he had kind of some nagging injuries as the season went on. I think he probably slowed down just a little bit. I hate to say this, but Matt Breida had the fastest speed this season. He was number one at 22.09 miles per hour, so just a hair faster than Tyreek Hill. The reason that I hate it was him was because he is also nicknamed the Cheetah. And I've seen plenty of 49ers fans, you know, out there saying he's the real Cheetah. And of course, we know Tyreek is the real Cheetah. In 2017, Tyreek's highest finish was fifth on the list with 21.64 miles per hour, but he had four of the top 20 spots. Which is just amazing. Leonard Fournette was the highest recorded player that year. He actually had the top two fastest speeds, and he was just over 22 miles an hour with that. And then in 2016, which just, you know, it was Hill's rookie year, and he was so special that year, but he was on the top 20 list twice with the top two speeds. He's the only player to ever crack 23 miles an hour. He was 23.24 miles per hour, and he was also 22.77 miles per hour, which are the two fastest speeds ever recorded on a football field in the 3 years that they've recorded it. And that's just amazing. He's the only Chief to ever make you know, the top 20 speed list, the finalist at the end of the season. So that is very special and very cool that you can kind of quantify how fast he is. And I believe every one of those speeds was on a punt or a kick return, except for last season when one of them was Mahomes' very first touchdown that he threw. The Cheetah, you know, hit a top speed against the Chargers. They also record the longest plays on Next Gen Stats, and I find that really interesting because what longest play means is how many yards the player actually ran to get their yardage. So a lot of these plays are touchdowns that the player had to weave back and forth across the field and make people miss to get. So a lot of these are punt returns and kick returns, and of course Tyreek Hill did exceptional on these two. I'm going to start with 2016 this time. Hill's amazing rookie year. He had five of the top 20 longest plays that season and four of the top nine. He didn't have the longest play, but he had the second and third longest plays. The longest one was 139.4 yards, and the second longest was 135.5 yards. That is amazing. He was the only Chief on the list that year. If I had to run 139 yards, I would be absolutely gassed when I got done with it. And he did it running full speed and making people miss like crazy. In 2017, Hill only had one play that made the top 20, but it was the sixth longest play. It went for 121.1 yards. And Marcus Peters actually made the list in 2017 also. He was ninth and he had a 119.6 yard interception return. So he had a few moves too. Last season, Hill had two of the top 20, finishing second and fourth with 147.2 yard play and 140.9 yard play. And that 140.9 yard punt return was, I believe, week one against the Chargers, that punt return touchdown. The 147 yarder was actually a punt return also that went for a touchdown but got called back because of a block in the back by Demetrius Harris. I actually remember that play. It didn't really affect the play, so it drove me a little bit crazy that it got called because it was just kind of silliness on his part and it cost Tyreek a touchdown. And anyway, Hill was the only Chief on the list last year. They also track the fastest sacks. Last season, Chris Jones had the second fastest sack, just under 2 seconds, 1.95 seconds. That was actually against the Patriots week six. You probably remember the play. He squeezed between the, I think, maybe it was the center and the guard. I believe he went right up the middle, basically unblocked, and just slapped the ball away from Brady. And it was a strip sack. It was pretty awesome. Justin Houston had the sixth fastest sack last year at 2.13 seconds. And then there's never been a Chief on the list in the previous two seasons. But in 2017, Frank Clark, when he was with Seattle, was number 20 with the 2.5 second sack. And those are kind of the stats on specific plays. Now I'm going to get into the stats for the specific players. And I'm going to start with Patrick Mahomes and go through all the stats they give on Next Gen Stats. Some of them are stats that only they track, and some are pretty common stats. But I was going to go through them all on this podcast anyway, because I think they're all important to kind of get the whole picture. I'm going to be giving Patrick Mahomes ranking with each of these stats, so it's important to know that there were 39 qualified quarterbacks that qualified to have their stats on Next Gen. The very first stat Next Gen does is time to throw. So all that means is the time from the ball is snapped to the time that the ball is released. And Patrick Mahomes is actually at 2.91 seconds per pass attempt, which is tied for the eighth longest, which usually you think of that and you don't want your quarterback to hold on to the ball for a long time. But with Patrick Mahomes, he's able to make big plays happen. And, you know, it's important for him to be able to extend plays to be able to get the big plays. And really, all the quarterbacks at the top of this list that held onto the ball were quarterbacks with really good legs. Josh Allen, the rookie, led the category. Lamar Jackson, the rookie, was right behind him. So not only are those two guys with good legs, but they're young, so they probably did hold on to the ball a little bit more. And then you had Russell Wilson and Deshaun Watson and Aaron Rodgers ahead of Mahomes also, which those three names are pretty good names. So I don't think it's bad at all that Patrick Mahomes held on to the ball for the eighth longest this season. The next stat is average completed air yards, which just means, you know, what was the average distance on the throw for Mahomes' completions. Basically, it doesn't include any yards after the catch, just from the time the ball leaves his hand to the time the ball is caught, how many yards it went. And he averaged 6.4 yards on his passes, which was 10th best or 10th highest in the NFL. I look at it as highest being the best, which I think makes the most sense. You know, 10th best really kind of surprised me. I thought he would be a little bit higher than that. But, I mean, that's still, you know, the top quarter of the league. Tampa Bay's two QBs, Jameis Winston and Ryan Fitzpatrick, were 1-2 and led the NFL by a wide margin. That Tampa Bay offense pushed the ball down the field a lot. if you haven't looked at their stats this season, those two quarterbacks combined put up a ton of yardage. They just turned the ball over too much to be much of a factor, but their offense really was electric when they didn't turn over the ball. And it's a little bit interesting to me that the offensive coordinator left Tampa this past season when they fired their head coach, and he went to the Cleveland Browns. So the Cleveland Browns, they pushed the ball down the field anyway with Freddie Kitchens as the offensive coordinator last season when he took over. And now that he's been named, you know, the full-time head coach, he brought in this guy from Tampa Bay, and they're going to push the ball down the field heavily with Baker Mayfield and Odell Beckham, Jarvis Landry, David Njoku. It's going to be interesting to see what they do. And then Bruce Arians went to Tampa, and the offensive coordinator that was at Tampa was actually a Bruce Arians disciple, just like Freddie Kitchens is in Cleveland. So Arians is going to go into Tampa and run a very similar offense to what they were already running. So I believe Tampa is going to keep pushing the ball down the field just like they did last year. So that's two offenses that should be really exciting to watch in the passing game, just like the Chiefs are. The next stat is average intended air yards. So it just means, you know, on all the passes, the completed and the incompleted, how far did the ball travel from the quarterback's hand to the receiver on average? And Mahomes was at 9.2 yards per passing attempt. And that was fifth in the league, tied with Russell Wilson. I think it is important to note that even though him and Wilson were tied for intended air yards, Wilson's average completed air yards was actually about a yard more than Mahomes. Wilson just completed more deep passes than Mahomes did last year. You know, I've talked about that ad nauseum on this podcast at times, that as great as Mahomes was last year, the really deep passes down the field, especially the Hill, they just didn't connect on a lot of those. And some of that's luck. Happens year to year. But I think with Mahomes' arm, you know, he can be better at that. And he can be, you know, better than 10th best in the league. I think he can be a top three guy, which should be very scary for defenses, that if he can improve just a little bit in that area, he's going to get more yardage and touchdowns, and they'll have to worry about Tyreek Hill and Cole Hardman, which is how it's actually pronounced, even though I have a hard time remembering that, and Sammy Watkins can do some serious damage deep down the field. Of course, Tampa Bay's QBs were second and third in average intended air yards, like I just mentioned with the stat before. Tampa Bay just really pushed the ball down the field. I know we don't get to see them a lot in the Midwest, but they were a fun team to watch last year, even though they didn't do well in the win-loss column. The next stat is average air yards differential. So basically taking the previous two stats I talked about and seeing what the difference is between them. Mahomes was negative 2.8 yards, which was tied for sixth worst in the league with Aaron Rodgers, Sam Darnold, and Baker Mayfield. So really, that's three guys that, you know, Darnold wasn't that good of a quarterback last year, but he's probably going to take a step up. And of course, Aaron Rodgers, Baker Mayfield, that's good company. And then really, the guys that were worse than them, the five guys, were really not good quarterbacks, except for Big Ben, who was up there too. And I think, especially with Mayfield, Rodgers, Mahomes, and Big Ben, they took a lot of chances deep down the field, and they just missed a lot of them this year. And of course, you know, Big Ben, Rodgers, Mahomes, Mayfield, they all have huge arms, and there's going to be a little bit of luck in that. And I think those guys just took more chances this year and had a little bit worse luck than normal. And, you know, I expect I can say Mahomes to be much better at that next year. This next stat really intrigues me, and I had to think about it a little bit to understand it. But it's called aggressiveness percentage. And it's basically an aggressive throw on next gen is considered when a defender is within a yard of the receiver at the catch. So basically, what's the percentage of passes that the quarterback threw to receivers that had a defender basically right there on them? You know, those tight window throws. And Mahomes had a 12.2 aggressiveness percentage. So 12.2% of the time he threw those really tight window throws, which was just fourth least in the league. He really didn't make that many tight window throws. And I was shocked when I saw that. And I was looking at the other quarterbacks up there that weren't aggressive. And they look more like a list of the scared QBs in the NFL, the Brock Osweiler and Nick Mullins, who was, you know, thrown into starting with the 49ers. Cody Kessler, Marcus Mariota, Ryan Tannehill, Derek Carr. Kirk Cousins is up there. But I honestly think in this case, with Mahomes, it shows that the Chiefs just had a great scheme last year. They had, you know, Hill, Watkins, Kelce, guys that really get open. And Mahomes, instead of throwing the tight window throws and forcing it to a certain person, was making his reads and finding, okay, which one of those guys is open, and hitting him on the pass. I think it actually shows a lot of maturation with him, that he's not forcing the ball to one specific guy over and over. He's getting the ball to open receivers, and he's making other teams pay. The next stat is longest completed air distance, and Mahomes came in at 60.7 yards, which was tied for 7th in the NFL with Mitchell Trubisky. You know, it just shows Mahomes, of course, has a very strong arm. A lot of the younger quarterbacks really do. Of course, Mahomes completed one that was almost 70 air yards in the preseason, which is ridiculous. I think the leader this year was around 63 air yards or 64 air yards, Josh Allen in Buffalo. But, I mean, it's no secret that Mahomes has one of the strongest arms in football, at least probably one of the top three. And he definitely gets, you know, serious velocity on the ball, too. The next stat is air yards to the sticks, which basically just means, and by sticks, they mean the first down sticks. So how close are your passes getting to first downs every time you pass? And that's an important stat for the Chiefs. It was very important before this last season, because that's something that Alex Smith was not particularly good at. He had a way of checking down quite a bit short of the sticks and just hoping that his receiver could make a play. And last year with the Chiefs, it completely changed when Patrick Mahomes took over. He actually averaged 0.2 yards past the first down marker on his passes. 0.2 probably doesn't sound like a lot, but that was fourth best in the league. You know, that's a big difference from where Alex Smith was. And honestly, if you had just showed me that stat before last season, I would have felt really good about where Patrick Mahomes was going to be later on in the season, because I wouldn't have known right then that he was going to take more chances than Alex Smith and be pushing the ball down the field much more than Alex Smith was, you know, ever did with the Chiefs. And I like Alex Smith, but he was just a different type of quarterback. And honestly, going into last season with Mahomes, I didn't know how comfortable he would be in his first full season running the team, you know, to really push the ball down the field. But man, he was amazing at it. The next stat is just passing attempts, you know, very basic stat, a lot of different places track. Mahomes had 580 passing attempts last year. That was the 7th most in the NFL, but it was 95 less passing attempts than Ben Roethlisberger, who led the league. The next stat is passing yards. Mahomes had 5,097, which was second most in the NFL, to Roethlisberger, who beat him by 33 yards. He had 5,130 yards passing on 95 more attempts. So he was nowhere near as efficient as Mahomes was. But then, earlier I mentioned those two Tampa quarterbacks and just how they pushed the ball down the field last season. And they combined for 5,358 passing yards last season between Jameis Winston and Ryan Fitzpatrick. The next stat is touchdowns. Of course, Mahomes had 50, which was first in the NFL, 11 more than second place Andrew Luck. And Andrew Luck had 59 more pass attempts than Mahomes last season. So about, right around two full games worth more passing attempts, and still finished 11 touchdowns behind Mahomes. And interceptions, Mahomes had 12 last season, which tied for the ninth most in the NFL. He tied with six other quarterbacks with 12 interceptions. Roethlisberger led the league with 16 interceptions. It makes sense because he threw the ball almost, 700 times, which is crazy. Passer rating wise, Mahomes was second in the league with 113.8 passer rating, just behind Drew Brees, who had a 115.7. And then Russell Wilson was third with a 110.9. Completion percentage wise, Patrick Mahomes had a 66% completion percentage, which just tied for 17th in the NFL. He tied with Eli Manning. Drew Brees completed 74.4% of his passes, which is just a ridiculously great number, but I want to remember that for the next stat or two here, because I will give a little more relevance to it. They track a stat called expected completion percentage on Next Gen Stats, which basically just means, should the wide receiver have caught it or not? And they see so many different passes that they know the percentage of the time that accurate of a pass is caught. So Mahomes' expected completion percentage was 64.3 last year, which was 23rd in the NFL. And Brees was just at 67%. And really what that means was that Brees wasn't really that much more accurate than Mahomes passing, but that his receivers, specifically Michael Thomas, caught a lot of passes that other wide receivers don't. And then they have a stat, which is just the difference between completion percentage and expected completion percentage. And Mahomes' completion percentage was 1.7 higher than his expected, which was 14th in the league. He outperformed his expected completion percentage a little bit, which just shows his receivers made a few catches that not all receivers would make. But of course, Brees was helped much, much more than Mahomes was last season. Next Gen also does a lot of work with running backs, but I honestly don't really think that their stats are that relevant when it comes to running backs. They don't have some things that, like, say, Pro Football Focus tracks, because I think with running backs, it's more important to actually see the film and make a judgment than it is to calculate anything from their positions or anything like that. You can kind of see which running backs are struggling with next-gen stats, even if you can't tell necessarily who the best ones are. And next-gen stats showed that Carlos Hyde struggled just immensely last year. He was among the worst in efficiency rating. He was among the worst in time behind the line of scrimmage, which both of those things are tied together. Efficiency rating just means, how many false steps did he take behind the line of scrimmage? It basically means he's moving horizontally instead of north and south. And of course, that leads to a lot of time behind the line of scrimmage. And the more time you're behind the line of scrimmage, You know, defenses are going to be able to get to you, and he only averaged, you know, 3.3 yards per carry last year. Now, of course, you know, he played with Cleveland for a big chunk of last year and then with Jacksonville, but he faced 8-man boxes over 34% of the time, which is just tough for a running back. So you would kind of expect his stats to be a little bit worse, but Nick Chubb, who was the running back who took over for him in Cleveland, he also faced 8-man boxes 34% of the time, and Nick Chubb averaged almost a full 2 yards more per carry than Carlos Hyde did last season. So now I'm going to move to the wide receivers, because I really like next-gen stats when it comes to receivers. And the way next-gen stats works, it lumps wide receivers and tight ends together. So basically all the pass catchers there, and there were around 125 of them on the 2018 list. It was every wide receiver or tight end that got a minimum of at least 43 pass targets. And I looked at Chris Conley, Tyreek Hill, Sammy Watkins, and Travis Kelce in each of these categories, because they were the four that qualified for the Chiefs. And the first stat is cushion, and that basically just means how much cushion is the defender giving the receiver on each play. You know, how far off the line of scrimmage are they playing? And I thought it was a little bit interesting that Chris Conley came in at 6.5 yards of cushion. That was tied for 12th most in the NFL, and it was quite a bit more than the other receivers. Hill came in at 5.9 yards of cushion, Watkins at 5.5, and Kelce at 5.6. And the only rationalization I can really come up for with this is that defenses were so focused on Hill and Watkins and Kelce that the defender on Conley, and Conley was in the slot quite a bit, I just gave him a lot of cushion because he didn't want to be beat over the top, because he knew he wasn't going to have help with Hill and Watkins, you know, kind of stretching the safeties their direction. And of course, if you're in the slot, generally the slot corner is going to give you a little more cushion than the outside guys too. The next stat is separation. And the separation stat is basically when the receiver catches the ball, how close is the nearest defender? And Sammy Watkins actually had the most separation on the Chiefs last year. He was at 3.5 yards. That tied for 7th best in NFL. So he was really able to get open. And as you look, you know, at some of these stats later, he was able to create that 3.5 yards of separation very quickly, because he wasn't targeted very far down the field. And then behind him, Conley averaged 3.3 yards of separation, Hill 3.1, and Kelce 2.9. And I think a lot of that can also be tied back to Patrick Mahomes, like I talked about earlier, and the fact that he isn't forcing the ball to these guys. He's finding the open guy and making the easiest throw he can, which is why this offense is so successful. The next stat is average targeted air yards, which just means, you know, how deep is their average target? And of course, Tyreek Hill led the Chiefs with 14.8 yards per target. That was 11th most in the NFL. The next highest on the Chiefs was 9.6 yards with Conley, and then 8.9 with Kelce, and 8.4 with Watkins. And that's what I was talking about earlier. You know, Watkins' average target was just 8.4 yards through the air, and yet somehow he created 3.5 yards of separation on those throws, which is just amazing. And of course, Hill is targeted almost twice as far down the field as the other receivers, which is just absolutely ridiculous, and shows you know, just how his speed and quickness and route running has, especially his route running, has really come along. To be targeted 15 yards down the field and to average the separation that he did. the next stat is just the percentage of air yards that each receiver has for the team. And of course, Tyreek came in at 38.19% of the Chiefs' air yards, which was third most in the NFL. Kelce came in at 25.12%, which was 31st highest in the league. And then Conley had 9.35% of the team's air yards, which was the 19th lowest. And Watkins actually had 8.7%, which was the 14th lowest. So Watkins' percentage of air yards in the passing game was extremely low. Which, you know, I mean, he was really effective. And you can see how Hill and Watkins are used differently, because Hill had almost 40% of this team's air yards. So he was targeted deep a lot. Watkins was targeted, you know, much closer to the line of scrimmage. And then Kelce was kind of in the middle between those guys. Of course, you know, the tight end in the slot, he's going over the middle of the defense a lot. And then we get into some of the more basic stats. Receptions is the next stat. Kelce, of course, led the team with 103 receptions. That's the most in Chiefs history, and that was ninth best in the NFL this season. Excuse me. I think I'm going to have to get me a drink of water here. Hill had the second most receptions on the team with 87, and that was 13th most in the NFL this year. And then Watkins had 40 receptions and Conley had 32. Targets is the next stat. Kelce led the team with 150 targets. That was 8th most in the NFL. Hill was second on the team with 137 targets, which was 13th most in the league. And then Watkins had 55 targets and Conley had 52 targets. So spread out. You know, Conley and Watkins were close, and then Hill and Kelce were close. And I honestly expect, you know, Watkins to get a lot more targets this year if he can stay healthy for the full season. You know, he missed a few games last year, or I think he would have came in around 80 targets last year. And then Knowles, you know, I still think guys like Mecole Hardman and DeMarcus Robinson are going to get their fair share of targets this year, too. So the passing game should be a lot of fun this year, guys. The next stat is catch percentage. Watkins caught almost 73% of the passes thrown his way. That was tied for 16th best in the NFL. Behind him was Kelce at just under 69%. And then there's Hill at 63.5% and Conley at 61.5%. Now with Hill, you know, I mentioned that earlier, Mahomes and him just weren't able to connect a lot on really deep passes last year. You know, passes 30 yards down, you know, past the line of scrimmage type of passes. And I think, you know, his percentage would come up a point and a half or 2 points, you know, in the future, because I think they're going to connect on more of those. Watkins, really, it seemed to me like he had a lot of drops last year, so it really surprised me that he had the best hands on the team. Of course, a lot of that probably had to do in the fact that he was targeted at, you know, a much lesser distance, so it's usually easier to complete some of the shorter passes. And then Kelce at almost 69%, that's pretty dang good for a tight end. The next stat is receiving yards. Hill led the team with 1,479, which was fourth most in the league. Kelce had 1,336, which for about 15 minutes was the most in history for an NFL tight end until George Kittle passed him up. And Kelce finished 10th in the NFL in receiving this season. And then Watkins had 519 receiving yards and Conley had 334 receiving yards. Of course, you know, I've been rooting ever since last year for Hill, Watkins, and Kelce all to get 1,000 yards receiving, and I really hope that can happen this year. That'd be a very cool thing. It hasn't happened many times in history at all. TDs is the next stat. Hill had 12, which was fourth best in the NFL. Kelsey had 10, which tied for sixth. And then Conley had 5, and Watkins had 3. Watkins really wasn't that big of a red zone target last year, which I'm kind of surprised because, he did show the ability to get open and short yardage, and he's such a big-bodied guy that, he can almost block out like a Kelsey because his body is so big and his hands are so good. And now we get to the stat, which is average yards after catch per reception. So how many running yards did they average after they caught the ball? And Hill came in at 6.4 yards of yak on each catch, which is just crazy. That was 15th best in the NFL. And then right behind him was Watkins with 6.2 yards of yak, which was 16th best in the NFL. So the Chiefs had the 15th and 16th best at yards after catch per reception. And then Kelsey honestly wasn't far behind them at 5.8. But there were a lot of receivers grouped between Watkins and Kelsey there, even though there's only about a half a yard difference. And then Conley was much less at 4.3 yards of yak per reception. And Next Gen Stats does expected yak. So basically, what's the average of yards after catch on this type of catch? And Conley's expected yak per reception last season was 4.8. Hill's was 5.2. Kelsey's was 4.9. And then the interesting part with this stat is that Watkins' expected yak per reception was 6.8, so third most in the NFL. I think a lot of that had to do with the fact that he created so much separation, that he was expected to pick up a lot of yards. Well, this next stat is yak differential, the difference between the actual yak they got per reception and the expected yak. And this is where Watkins just does not do well. He actually averaged less than he expected, almost a half a yard less, which really surprised me because I thought he did well running after the catch last year. But at least Next Gen Stats believes that he left some yards on the field. Hill, on the other hand, averaged 1.2 yards more than the average receiver on his catches, which was 12th best in the NFL. Kelsey was 0.9 yards more than the average receiver, which tied for 15th. So him and Hill were both up there. We know they are great, after the catch, and that stat really proves it. And then Conley was right there with Watkins. He was at a half a yard less than Next Gen thinks he should have got. That is all the stats I've got, guys. I've really enjoyed this. I hope you did. Have a great week, and go Chiefs.